friends, and welcome to the In the Whisper podcast. I'm your host, Nita Wilkinson, a self-professed joyologist and Bible girl. Join me each week as I talk to a girlfriend about life, joy, and Jesus, where we look to the Bible for all of life's questions. Welcome back to the In the Whisper podcast. I'm your host, Nita Wilkinson, and I'm solo today, but I am also going to talk about my psalm, the psalm that I made my own, which is Psalm 34. Many of you know that my mom years ago told me that I needed to choose a psalm and make it my own, something that I could go to when I was sad, something that I could go to when I was grieving, something I could go to when I was happy. After looking through some psalms, Psalm 34 is the one that I chose. And I have to tell you that when I went through that 10 weeks of clinical depression, Psalm 34:4 was constantly in my head. That is what got me through the night, was just reciting that in my head over and over. And that verse reads, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So it's come to mean even more to me since that time, because I used it at a time that I was struggling so much. Psalm 34 is, some people call it the taste and see that the Lord is good psalm, because that is where that comes from. And this is a psalm of David, and he pretended to be insane before Abimelech so that he could get away from him. And you will find that in 1 Samuel 21, 10 through 15, that story about David. But as usual, David starts with praise. He praises God through whatever. And so just reading the first of these verses, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. He is praising God, and he's showing that you can praise God regardless of circumstances. This is an encouragement to us as believers to know it doesn't matter what we're going through. We can praise God. And sometimes that can be hard to do. And I'm sure that David felt that as well. But I think the more we practice it, the better chance we have of living that. You know, we can go to Ephesians 5:20, where it says, give thanks always and for everything. Or 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. Jesus was able to do that. And David was able to do that. Over and over in his Psalms, we see him, even when he's lamenting. In almost every one of David's Psalms, you will find at least a verse or two of praise, even if it's at the end, because he knows that thanksgiving is not dependent upon our circumstances. When we go on to read, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. Here we see that David is meditating on the situation, the one that he escaped from. And he reveals that when he was there and when he was fearful, he sought the Lord. And God delivered him from those fears. And that is something that I really leaned on when I was facing that really challenging time for me of clinical depression with extreme anxiety. I couldn't sleep. I could barely get out of bed. I was just in such a bad place. But this is the verse that I put all of my hope in. When we express our faith in prayer, we will find that is God's antidote to fear. Faith in prayer. And I love that David shows us that over and over again in his Psalms. As we move on to verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. The poor man he's trusting in God. He knows that he will be taken care of. Charles Spurgeon has a lot to say about this poor man and him crying out and what that means. He was all alone. No one else might have heard him, but the Lord heard him. His cry out to the Lord, even to Jehovah of the hosts, the Almighty, bowed down to hear this man cry out. In God's ears, the songs of angels are continually resounding. Yes, he hears all the voices of all the creatures he made. And those are the words of Spurgeon. And I love that. This man is crying out. We don't know if he's poor in spirit. We don't know if he's poor financially or maybe both. But he cried out to the Lord and he saved him. God saved him out of all of his troubles. He hears us. All we have to do is pray, which takes us back to that faithful prayer, which is God's antidote to fear. I love that. I love that David does that over and over and over. And we get to the angel of the Lord encamping around those who fear him, and he delivers them. And you know, when I was in my time of depression, I didn't feel like God was there. When I came out of it and looked back, and I did keep a journal because honestly, I don't remember a lot of that time, but I did keep a journal of some of the things, some of my thoughts, some of things that just happened, like when I called the doctor and that kind of thing. But when I looked back, when I was healthy again, and looked back, I was stunned at how God was there right beside me all the time. He might not have delivered me from that immediately, but he did eventually. And I know that he doesn't always deliver us from those challenges that we face. But this world isn't our home. We will have the opportunity to be with him in eternity, no longer separated, and we won't have these fears. When it says the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them, the angel of the Lord, the Lord is a capital L. And there are many theologians who believe that when the L is capitalized, that's Jesus. So not just the angels. And we read about the angels alone in Psalm 91, I believe it's verse 11. But here it's the angel of the Lord, which is capitalized, and that's very probably Jesus. So as we go on and read verses 8 through 10, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Psalm 84:11 tells us that Yahweh shields us. He bestows favor and honor to us, and he withholds no good thing from those who walk upright. As we cry out to him and we seek him, we see that everything that is good in this world comes from him. All the perfection, the light, and all the things that are good, these things come from God, and we can count on him for that.
Do you want to grow closer to God this year? Theologians tell us the best way to do that is to read and know his word. Join In the Whisper for some scripture memorization that will grow you closer to God so that you can better know his heart. We will spend 2024 memorizing three prayers and a psalm, and we would love for you to take this journey with us. To find out more, go to inthewhisper.org.
You've probably seen so many things about, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's hanging in people's cook kitchens. People use it all the time. And it's true. We can count on the goodness of God. And Hebrews 6:5 tells us, we have tasted the goodness of God's word. You all know how I feel about God's word and its value and its beauty. And while I call it the number one tool in the toolbox of life. And that's what Hebrews is saying. You know, God's word is good. We see God's goodness here. In God's word, we see his character. We see who he is. We see his promises, and we see his promises fulfilled. If you ask to delight in his word, he will bless you with that, and you will be able to see so much of who God is, and you will see this book that is many books, 66 books, that's actually one book talking about the redemption plan. Son of our Savior. As we go on, we can cry out to Him in honesty. When we seek Him, we will see His goodness, and we will know that everything that is good comes from our God. Verse 11, "Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear or the reverence of our Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." God is good. He wants us to enjoy the things that He made that is good. But we also have to do what is good. "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers to cut off remembrance of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears them and rescues them from all their troubles." Verses 15 through 17. Do you see a theme here? He rescues us from all of our troubles. We seek Him and He answers us and He delivers us from all of our fears. Over and over we see God rescuing us, caring for us, loving us. The poor man cried and was heard by the Lord, and he was saved from every trouble. And then we go on to the last few verses. "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and He saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from them all. He keeps all their bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of His servants. None of those who take refuge in Him will be condemned." Refuge in our Lord. When we place ourselves under God's covering, we will be protected. It's said over and over in this psalm. And I take that as an encouragement all the time. It's why I chose this psalm to make my own. Because when I'm happy, it's a praise to God. But when I'm grieving or when I'm sad, I am encouraged by the fact that He is always there. And we can take refuge in Him. Psalm 91, it says we can take refuge beneath the shadow of His wings. And I love that picture of what God does for us. It's really perfect. If you look closely, right at the end of this psalm, we talked about Jesus being with the angels, so that's the first thing that we see. But we see just a whisper of Him in verse 20. "He keeps all of their bones, not one of them will be broken." David learned firsthand that the Lord has the ability to rescue him no matter what. He knew this from many situations and from this one where he had to pretend to be insane. And he was able to say he protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. This promise ultimately finds its fulfillment when Jesus went to the cross in John 19, 33 through 36. I love how we can see whispers of Jesus in the Old Testament, and sometimes it's much more obvious when we see Him. And we see Him twice in this psalm. So I highly recommend, if you don't have a psalm that you've made your own, that you read through the psalms and that you find one that you can count on every day. When you're happy, when you're sad, when you're grieving, when you're celebrating. This one is mine. And you can see why I love it so much. I also recommend that when you don't know what to pray to God, that you open the Psalms and find one that fits the situation you're in. Maybe it's a psalm of praise, maybe it's a psalm of lament, but it's a great way to pray to God and to use His words to reach out to Him. There's nothing better than that. And I'm going to leave you today with some thoughts from C.S. Lewis on Psalm 34, especially verse 8. William Law remarks that people are merely amusing themselves by asking for the patience which a famine or a persecution would call for, if in the meantime the weather and every other inconvenience sets them grumbling. One must learn to walk before they can learn to run. So here, we, or at least I, shall not be able to adore God on the highest of occasions if we, or I, haven't learned the habit of doing so on the lowest. At best, our faith and reason will tell us that he is adorable. We shall not find him. We will not have tasted and seen him to know that he is good. Any patch of sunlight in a woods will show you something about the sun which you could never get from reading books on astronomy. These pure and spontaneous pleasures are patches of godlight in the woods of our experience. As always, C.S. Lewis so eloquently puts these words. We can't pray for patience for a famine or a persecution if we're going to complain about the weather, no matter what it is. We have to learn to walk before we learn to run. Paul talks about young Christians drinking milk before they get meat. It's kind of like that. We have to learn to praise God on the best of occasions, but also when we're struggling. That is how we taste and see the goodness of our God. Until next time, I'm Nita Wilkinson. Thank you for listening to the In the Whisper podcast. If you want to know more about In the Whisper, you can find us at inthewhisper.org, where you'll find more podcast episodes, the blog, and a plethora of information to encourage you. Until next time, I'm Nita Wilkinson.